Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Good to have you aboard.
I'm glad to be here, man.
It's hoodie day.
It is. It's always hoodie day when you're on PTO and it's February.
Or on radio. That's the other good news.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday, as you're well aware of on this mm-hmm. program, we check in at City Hall. Well, it's virtual City Hall, and it's Mayor John Hamilton who joins us. Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. Nice to be with you. And Jim, nice to be with you this week. What a difference a week makes. You get Jim and you don't have any freezing temperatures.
You know what? It's just melting away, and I think most everybody is smiling about that. So,
amen. That is the great part of it. Let's, Mr. Mayor, let's get started, shall we? We've had some freeze. Now we've had some thaw. You sat here the last couple of weeks and have explained why we're doing infrastructure projects on our water mains. And, mm-hmm. well, Jim, your headlines yesterday were about the weekend. Yeah. Breakage at 4th and...
4th and Walnut Streets.
And then we had four more yesterday. Our bingo card is almost full.
Well, look, the people of the City of Bloomington Utilities are a terrific bunch, and they will jump in no matter the weather, no matter the time of day, to dig up problems. And as I've said on this show, you know, we've got water mains that are 100 years old, and we've got them breaking sometimes. It's one of the reasons, as mayor, you got to invest in the basic infrastructure to make sure the city still works and it will work in the future. So it's always frustrating when that happens. The weather can put strain on systems like this. Thankfully, nothing like in Texas, but thanks to the people of the utility department and to the patience of our community, and we're going to continue to invest in that water system, without which we don't have a community. So let's make sure we build it right.
And I'll give you kudos as well. When I was driving in Monday around 12:30 or 1 o'clock, everything was down to one lane around 4th Street, and I come in today at 2 o'clock and we're back to three lanes running. So whatever had to be done was done about as quickly as you could do in real time talking about it. How are the other four breaks around town, Mr. Mayor? I haven't seen an update on any of those. Same thing, just get them fixed. Everybody boils their water, flush it out, and we'll move on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry it happens. These are old systems, and I'll tell you, I'm really proud of Vic Kelson and the utilities team because they're grabbing this bull by the horns. You know, the first thing that happened when I was mayor was worry about the quality of water in Lake Monroe. That was the first big thing that happened January of 2016. And we've gotten on top of that and cleaned up and made sure everything's safe in their water system. But we're getting digging up when we need to. Just for you to know, when a water break happens, what they do is they find the break and they have to basically cut the pipe and put in a 6 foot, you know, kind of a 6 foot patch that they sister over both ends and clamp it on and then bury it back up. But of course that's the quick fix. The long fix is we're replacing the water mains all through town. But as you've heard me say before, the bad news is the budget that we have replaces our full system every 250 years. That's not quite fast enough. So we have to do better, and we are, and appreciate everybody's support in that.
And again, if it's like these great commercials you hear on the radio and television, no one calls you up 2 hours beforehand and says, hey, we're going to have this break here, here, and here, so if you can be prepared. No, it doesn't work that way. So we laugh about it, but you just have to go along and deal with it. And as you mentioned, it's not as simple as going down there with a roll of duct tape and just whipping it around where it broke. It takes a little more work. Takes a little bit more work than that. So we'll try to get these projects up and going. Does it help that the weather is getting better, that we can get to these a little bit easier, like the Hidden River project? I know is big on the agenda moving forward.
Yeah, I appreciate, yes, the weather definitely. It helps our crews, and it helps the system just to be able to get into things and fix them more quickly. And as you mentioned, it used to be called the Big Dig. That's what people might remember. But the last part of that, which we're calling the Hidden River project, is to fix the stormwater system that runs right under our downtown from the intake at Kirkwood in Indiana, right by the campus. You can see it, the river running through campus. It is Clear Creek when it comes out. That runs all through downtown and ends up coming out at College and First. And the last southernmost part of that, we're having to upgrade over the next possibly 2 years. We hope we can do it quicker. And you're going to see some of that disruption. But just know that's some of this basic infrastructure stuff that we're working on. And if you have a river running under downtown, you got to take care of it. Because if you don't, bad things happen.
And the other thing is you just can't kick this can down the street. I know no one likes to have their rates going crazy or whatever else goes along with this, but there's how else would you fix it, Mr. Mayor? The money doesn't grow on trees. There's not a pot hanging out. There's not a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow behind City Hall.
Yeah, well, I think most people probably know it, but it just as a reminder, you know, a thing like the City of Bloomington Utilities is quite heavily regulated at the state level under state law. It's a monopoly, and its rates are regulated in the legislature and related entities. It has to get approvals for rate increases. It can only pay for what it does with ratepayers. There's no tax dollars that go into it. There's no taxes that pay for the water system. It's all by the ratepayers, and you know, our job is to do it as efficiently as we can. And I have to say we're playing a little catch up with this to make sure we're investing as much as we should every year, and I appreciate everybody's patience. And if you have any questions, you know, jump on the website, call up utilities. They love to give tours of water plants or explain what's going on. They're really proud of what they do, and you know, I hope people can be patient as we keep improving the system.
Of course they'll be patient because we all need water, and unlike other things in life, we just can't call another company and say, you know what, I'm mad at my cable guy, so I'm gonna go to this guy. You can't do that with water. So everybody relax, and we'll try to get this fixed as quickly as possible.
And Mike, if I can throw in one other thing with this weather, if you do happen to be near or see a stormwater inlet that is clogged with snow, it is so helpful if you can just kick it aside or shovel it out if it's in your neighborhood. We even have a program where you can adopt a storm drain. There are, I think, 12,000 of them or something like that in the city. There are a lot. And when you have this big melt happening, if you don't keep those drains clear, it can really back up pretty quickly in a location. So keep your eyes out. If you're out walking, you can call it in if you're not able to do it yourself, if you see it. But even little steps you can do yourself can really help the system. So thanks.
So speaking of communications and getting the word out and everything, you have the State of the City coming up.
Wait. Have I missed it yet? Have I missed it? That was a running joke we have going
okay.
here, Jim.
This is it, Mike. It's coming. Your chance to miss it is Thursday at 7, okay?
He tells me to talk about it, Mayor, and then he's like, wait. Like, what did I do?
No. Yeah. I set him up, didn't I? I had him walk right into that trap.
I
asked Mr. Mayor a couple weeks ago about did I miss the State of the City? But I asked him on the air like an idiot that I am.
He had a panic moment.
I absolutely panicked. That is true. But now, here cometh the moment, cometh the man, and now we have Thursday at 7 o'clock on Zoom, just like everything else.
Yes, it will be. You know, this year's different. We'll be talking about the past year and remembering it, and there'll be some, you know, some sober times and talking about where we are and then thinking about the future. I will note last year, this speech was on February 20th, and I didn't mention the word coronavirus, and I didn't see it. We had not had a single death in the United States reported. If you think about that, just 1 year ago, February 20th, we hadn't had a single death reported in the United States. It was a week away out in the state of Washington. And I gave a State of the City, and I didn't talk about this pandemic because I didn't see it coming. And, you know, most of us didn't. But obviously this year we're going to be talking about what it has meant and how we're going to get out of it, how we are getting out of it. But real challenges ahead. And there will also be some really nice art and entertainment and touching moments, I think. So I do think if you have an hour between, you know, starting at 7 o'clock on Thursday, you can connect from the comfort of your own home this year and check it out. I encourage folks to do so.
Where will you be giving the State of the City address? Because typically you're at the Buskirk Chumley, so are you going to be in a secret hidden location this year?
I'm in an undisclosed location. Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. Actually, we were looking at different things. I believe we have now settled I will be doing it in city council chambers. And from a podium, I will be there, but it's me and one other person in that room, I think. And then we've got a wizard behind the screen who's running all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to do it live. I wanted to do it live. That's my plan. And we'll have some taped other segments. But I felt it would be good to do it live like usual, just alone. So please join, please join on Zoom if you can, or Facebook Live.
There's nothing better than doing it live. That's the best way. And plus, council chambers is wired. Everything is there. You don't have to haul anything up. It makes it easy. Now, I'm going to, again, say something stupid because I excel at doing that on this program. If you can't make it at 7 o'clock on Thursday night, there will be a repeat on the YouTube channel or social media where you can go back and play it, correct?
Sure, we'll have it on our website that you can go back and watch it and at a different time. Absolutely.
Just making sure everybody knows that if they can't make it at 7 o'clock, it just will not go away. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He checks in. You mentioned COVID. You mentioned a year ago. We haven't seen or weren't aware of what a year would be. But, Mr. Mayor, it's I don't want to say everything's coming full circle, but the numbers are moving in the direction of the early days of the pandemic, and that has to make everybody encouraged. The sun's coming out. The snow is melting. The numbers are down. So let's talk about COVID for a minute because I know you interact with all of your leaders here, health leaders locally throughout the week before your big press conference on Fridays. Everybody has to be generally pleased in the direction this is heading.
We're very pleased that the numbers continue to go down locally and in the state and nationally. Of course, we hit this big 500,000 dead mark, which is kind of overwhelming to think about in the country. But the direction is good. That means what we're doing is working. That means let's keep doing what we're doing because it's working. We're not out of the woods by any means. There's still people predicting issues ahead, so let's just not have that happen. Let's get vaccines when your time is it's your turn. Let's continue distancing, masking, good hygiene. Don't do unnecessary gatherings because the virus is still here, and the UK virus is probably here, and it's going to be here. That's more contagious. So let's keep doing what we're doing and be confident that it is helping and working. But don't let up yet. It's not time.
Now, the interesting part is I know we've talked about the different strands and everything else. That has not gathered the momentum that I would have thought maybe a month ago it would have. I would suggest that is good. And the other part about not gathering will be, are we going to incrementally get back to gathering, or how are we going to get to that where we can go to the Buskirk Chumley and watch the State of the City speech again? Do you have any idea of what that magic formula is going to be?
There will be no magic formula, is my guess. Our health department appropriately says, look, there's no single number that tells us we're good to go. It's not a binary, go, no go. It's a gradual process. You probably saw IU's announcement about commencement, right? They had to make that decision that it's going to be very limited. You saw Bloomington's decision about the NCAA games, which is different from, Indianapolis' decision, as far as I know, unless that's changed, but I haven't heard of any change. We're going to be careful. We're going to incrementally, people are, as you're vaccinated, as your family is vaccinated, as our school systems evolve, it's just going to be a process of climbing out of this, and we're going to have to monitor it as we go. We may find, hey, we thought this would work, but it doesn't quite work yet. So let's hold off a little bit more. When will Little League start again? When will movie theaters open again? When will restaurants change? All those things are going to be bit by bit. So again, let's just be patient. Let's err on the side of being cautious so that we don't have a backslide. And look, this community's done great. We've done really well together, so let's keep it going that way.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He checks in every Tuesday just after 4:05. Jim Inman Jr. is in the studio as well, so we've got a feature presentation here for you on a Tuesday. Now, speaking of vaccinations, Mr. Mayor, we know they slowed down last week because of the weather and appointments got changed and shuffled. Has the feedback been good on getting everybody rescheduled on getting back into the normal flow of things?
Yes. My reports from both the county health department and then the IU health system, which is the bulk of the vaccinations, are people did a great job rescheduling. No doses are lost or won't, were not delivered. They were delayed, but we're getting those doses. I think we may even be extending hours and adding days to the vaccination schedule. Of course, it's opened up to people 60 and over now. And so I think people handled it really well, both from the deliver side, vaccinator side, and the vaccinatee side. So people did really well working together.
Well, that's good, because the last thing we wanted to do was make sure that it wasn't being lost in the shuffle. And I didn't think that would be the case at all. But the weather, just things that we can't do anything about, they're undefeated. The other good news, and I just sent you this email, Jim Inman Jr., the county health department is going to give a tour for the media on how this vaccination process works, and I believe it's tomorrow. So from 9:30 to 10:30, they're going to have people literally on site, make sure everybody's social distance, masked up, and they'll show you how this process works. So we should get some more feedback here a little bit later in the week how that is going to work if people really want to know. And as you mentioned accurately, 60 and over, that is a new number. We'll hear from Governor Holcomb tomorrow on how that's going to work out. But the one thing we want to hear from Governor Holcomb, which I don't think is his doing or not, is whose cage do we rattle to get more vaccinations and move Indiana into that? Is there, you talk about writing your congressman or getting involved, is there anybody we can call or do with that?
Well, look, it really depends, of course, on the vaccine production. And I know the bottom line of this is we have to trust the scientists and the science and the health experts, because they are working their tails off, as they have for a year. Just like our frontline nurses and doctors have, the back office scientists and lab scientists are doing the same thing. In my view, we have state and federal administrations that are now really talking and doing the best we can. And, you know, states are taking different tacks at this, and you may think that's good or bad, but some are doing teachers before they're doing 60-year-olds. Others are doing, you know, they're making different approaches to that. But nationally, I'm confident we have the science leading the way and the technicians leading the way, the public health experts leading the way to get us those vaccines as quickly as we can.
And you know,
we just have to support that and let's get ready to get your vaccine when it's your turn.
And I know that I've had some friends who are under that 60-year mark, which, I mean, that just kicked in the last day or so, but who did the, if there are extra vaccines,
I screwed that up too.
Give me a call. And friends of mine who are in their, you know, 40s and early 50s have been able to get vaccinated before, simply because they joined the wait list and somebody was unable to show up or whatever. So if you're wanting to do it early, there is a potential to actually get it done before you fall into that age.
Mayor Hamilton told me last week I have to sign up for that every week, just not one time. You have to do it, because I screwed that up as well. Oh, and by the way, I want to go back to the state of the city for a minute, because I found some notes I made for you over the weekend. And, Wednesday afternoon, Renheisen up and quits. Who's going to be the deputy mayor?
I don't know what you did to him last Thursday.
Well, I got him pretty good. I wanted to know why it was April 23rd. I wanted to know why it was now. I wanted to know, you know, he puts in 40 years and just thinks, I can walk out whenever I want to. Gee whiz.
Well, you know, Mick and I were not close before I asked him to take this job as mayor. We knew each other, but he really has brought so much expertise and judgment that he built through the Parks Department for 35 years. And then brought to the deputy mayor spot, which is one of the harder jobs of any kind in this city. You have 24/7 issues and, you know, 16 cabinet departments, and anything can happen on any given day, and seven of them you weren't expecting. So he's done a great job serving the city. He's at an age where retirement looks pretty good. he and I have been talking about it for a bunch of months, and I kept trying to get him to delay it. But I think finally the siren song of Maui and his wife and the summer, you know, overcame. And I'm really pleased for him. It's going to be he's been a great public servant. And I won't announce a replacement for a little while, but it won't be too long, I hope. And that's an important, really important job for me and for the city. So we're taking care to talk to the right people.
If there's one qualification you would be looking for in a deputy mayor, I mean, obviously all the background and everything, but what's one thing that really is at the top of your list, just out of curiosity?
Besides being really good on AM radio.
Well, yeah, that's a given. I mean, you got to do that. But, I would probably have to say good judgment. You know, that in the end, I need a partner and our city needs somebody who can bring good judgment. You have to have your ego under control. You have to bring good judgment. Now, you know how you get good judgment, of course.
Experience.
Experience, exactly. And you know how you get experience.
Getting
bad judgment.
Great point.
So you know, having somebody with good judgment is probably the top. But we'll find somebody, and they work a lot with council and all our good cabinet leaders. So.
And the process. Yeah,
if you want the job, give me a call. You know.
Well, it's not time to drag your feet in, man. You're here this afternoon. Maybe that was for a reason.
I was not.
Unbeknownst to me. Yeah. Or you're auditioning for the deputy mayor position.
Well, I don't know about the good on the radio thing. That's going to be the bad part.
Well, he's good on the radio for sure. But I don't know about your judgment, but you can let me know.
He comes on this program. It's kind of hard.
Mike, after all,
everything's questionable.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. Now, for the process of determining the deputy mayor, it's an appointed position. So basically, it's whatever you have decided. You don't have to run this by a committee or a vote or anything else, correct?
No, that's right. This is a hire that I will make. It's, you know, they work extremely closely with me, and I need to be, it's got to be somebody I trust implicitly. So it's an appointment I'll take very, very seriously, but it's one I'll do with some advice from others, including Mick. He's going to be involved in helping find the right replacement.
And is the potential that you have this person in place by April 23rd? Or how does that search?
May 1st, June 1st, end of the fiscal.
Because obviously with COVID, it's a little bit of a challenge, I'm sure, to reach out and everything.
I hope to do it before that. Do it so we have some overlap time. So you may hear in the next week or two. We'll see. We hope.
Gotcha. So that makes sense. And then Mick can show the ropes or help get to know everybody. Mm-hmm. Because as you mentioned, overseeing 16 cabinet positions, that's some heavy lifting. So getting in and knowing and having that experience will help with that. Mick's going to I said, what are you doing retiring April 23rd? He goes, well, that was 40 on the right around 40 on the button. And he said, why would I want to retire in January when I can't play golf for 3 or 4 months? I said, well, that's pretty smart. See, he's got good judgment in him. We can all learn
there
from
you
why
go.
I got that. Why I got the job.
We can all learn from this. One more for Mr. Mayor before we let him go, and we always appreciate your extra time with us as well. The Hospital Reuse Commission got together, and we need to name this new area. How are we going to go about doing – we just can't call it the old hospital project forever, can we?
No, you're right. We had a wonderful meeting yesterday, and it was kind of a landmark with the delivery of the master plan and infrastructure plans coming up. So the next phase is going to be overseeing some infrastructure investment and partnerships with developers who can help do things that we want to see there. The city's going to own the land. But we do need to think of what the name of that place should be. You know, we now have the Trades District. That's just north of downtown. And this area shouldn't be called the old hospital for too long. So if people have ideas, let me know. We are going to have that group of 30-plus folks who've been involved now for 6 years helping to think about how to do that. But it's a name that may stick for generations, so we'll take that kind of seriously and think about what it ought to be called.
The building that has the BudCor portion of
that's not
Bloomington
going anywhere.
Hospital,
yeah.
I know that's, and yeah. I didn't know if that would have some tie-in to the potential naming of that area. That's I
yeah,
just
I don't. Yeah, there are lots of ideas.
Oh,
that
sure.
Core building is going to be protected if we can. We are all going to be trying to work a way to make it feasible to redo that building. And, you know, the health background of this place, it's a beautiful hilly area as well. It's got a lot of topography on it. And so, you know, sky's the limit. Think about what it ought to be and throw your names in the hat. You can call my office or get involved in this people on this committee and let them know. But that'll be happening in the months ahead.
And one final thing before we this time officially let you go. I saw an email today from the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce opposing perhaps the opposing the city ordinance that where are we at with this ordinance as well, Mr. Mayor, about camping or hanging out in parks for an extended period of time? Give us the background of that, if you could, and what we're doing there.
Yeah, so there's a couple council members who are proposing an ordinance. And let me say two things really quickly right at the beginning. The parks in this community belong to the community and everybody in the community, and they are open to everybody. They are places for everybody to be, and they are a public gathering place, and we are committed to that, point one. Point two. This community and I personally and this administration and this community embrace the challenge of trying to make sure anybody who's experiencing homelessness has a path out, that they have a path back into a home. We have a housing first policy. There shouldn't be any hurdles you have to cross or prove before you get a house. We want everybody in safe housing. That's what the community works for. It's what I work for. This ordinance, which I have indicated my opposition to as well, proposes that individuals can choose to camp in a park and stay in a park and live in a park under quite a number of circumstances until the community finds permanent housing for folks. And that is a lot of us just don't think that's the right way to resolve this challenge, which is a real challenge. And I chaired the board of the Shalom Center for a couple of years and have been involved in homeless issues for a long time. I care deeply about them. They're very important. But this ordinance is in front of the council over the next week or two, and I hope there'll be some real debate about it. Again, affirming those two things. Everybody belongs in parks. They're open to everybody. Everybody's got to follow rules. And second, we care deeply about helping anybody in homelessness get into housing. It's just we got to be practical and effective about it, and that's what I'm going to try to keep doing.
Yep, come together, compromise, and try to find a way together forward instead of dividing it and just making the issue drag on. I think that would be a profound way of doing that. So if this is a starting point, great. And you're right, we have to. There are two things that we need to remember. Everybody needs to be safe, and the parks are for everybody. That's hard for me to argue with. Great job. Thank you so much for your time. Again, Thursday night, 7 o'clock on the Zoom link. Check all the city's website, social media, and everything else. We want everybody to see it so that's not going to be hidden away. So that's the good news out there. No question and answer for the state of the city, Mr. Mayor. You're just going to go with
no.
The program? Okay.
It's just a presentation with a bunch of we'll have some art and diversion and music and such. But if you have a question, I'm always available, either, you know, in my office, or I actually have a weekly office hours, too, for people if they want to virtually. And I'm going to give you a test on it next week, Mike, because this is your chance to miss it on Thursday at 7 if you do miss it. So, you know, you can watch it later, as you said. But I really appreciate being with you guys. And, Jim, welcome. Nice to see
you.
Nice to be with you again,
too. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Great job, as always, Mr. Mayor. We'll talk again next. We'll talk in March after your State of the City.
Oh, there we go.
And get a full recap for everyone who might have missed it. And we have plenty of things going on here. I don't even know if we got to them all today. But thank you for your time. It's been greatly appreciated.
Of course. We'll talk to you next week.